Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
During our last episode, the unanimous conclusion was that education is simply a process involving teaching and learning. Furthermore, that in order to be effective in that process, there is a need for partnership between the formal teacher and the parents of the children being taught. However, there is another consideration that's very important, and that is the purpose of education in the cultural identity of urban American youth. We're grateful that you're joining us tonight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, for another episode of Talk Straight. I see that we have a caller online. Bear with us, caller. We'll get right to you in just a little bit. We have a few things that we do before we open up our phone lines. I hope you can stay with us tonight. Our topic tonight is how education affects the social behavior of urban American youth. Now, if you're wondering, you're just tuning in, this is Building Families and Communities Institute's blog talk platform. And what we're doing is fostering national dialogue about young people across urban America who are struggling and who are at risk to early demise, incarceration, and oftentimes just being lost in society. Okay, that's our focus. And if you've been following us, you know we've done a considerable amount of research, and BFC Institute, Building Families and Communities, is endeavoring to take a traveling seminar and lecture series to targeted cities. We're based in Nashville, Tennessee. But again, what we're focusing on tonight is how we can look at addressing these issues. In 2017, we began really looking at what the problem was. Well, we really began in 2016, but in 2017, we spent a lot of time focusing on what some of the issues are. In 18, we promised to offer palliative solutions. How do we address those? Hence, tonight, we're talking about how to educate or how education affects the social behavior of urban American youth. The number to call us here live, is 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. And we'll be happy to entertain your question, your comment, and have you participate with us All we ask is that you keep your comments as much as possible relative to our topic for the night. And sometimes we have different opinions. We want to respect all of our callers. We've been grateful for those who have joined us and participated thus far. Our Facebook group that may be joining us as well, thank you. Feel free to respond to our question thread in the Facebook group there, DFC Institute. But nonetheless, we're grateful again for you joining us. And without further ado, we're going to get to our monologue, which we provide a factual context for our conversation tonight. And Pastor Ricky Waller usually joins us. We hope that he'll be with us. He's a regular panelist and author of the book Still High. And he's been dutiful in terms of being here with us. And we've had some other great callers that's been keeping up with us lately. We're mighty grateful for them. And we're going to hear from them again. I believe one of them is in queue tonight now. But nonetheless, without further ado, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and move to our monologue. And again, invite you to call us here at 657-383-0944. That's where you can get in, where you fit in. Okay. Having said that, again, we'll move right on into our monologue. Again, the topic is how education affects the social behavior of urban youth. The text, Psalm 78, verses 6 through 7, reads, "That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Now, I want to talk tonight from four aspects, four things that when we talk about the effects of education. So we're not necessarily talking about everything that is done right, but if it's not done properly, what is the negative effect? So tonight I'm going to offer you four factors, okay, four things to consider in terms of what effects that they have on young people. We learned that you can teach anything, but the question is, what are you teaching? Or what are you not teaching, and what effect does it have on the young people, particularly in urban America? And we just turn the news on, and you can see the manifestations of what we're talking about. Okay? So we're going to talk about heritage. All right? That as a content matter or subject matter, heritage being taught. The importance of teaching identity. The importance of personal capability, teaching that, and the purpose of teaching the lesson of purpose. Now, naturally, you ask yourself, is that what the public school is set up to do? In fact, if you look on Facebook, our question thread is germane to the question of how well is it the aim, or are the aims, of public education across America suited to address the needs of particularly children in urban America, when we see the success or the failure rate, rather, in public schools. Okay? So those are the four things that we're going to talk about. Then we're going to look at a case study. This is the real person. Names have been changed. Okay? But we're looking at someone who I've had the occasion to work with in my work as a social scientist and through BFC Institute, young men we engage and we dealt with over the years. We're going to look at his case study here, and we're going to try to see how well those four things, those factors that we talked about, purpose, personal capability, teaching about identity, teaching about heritage, how well will they talk or not tell or not taught to this young man, and what would be the difference? That's the topic of our, or the focus of our conversation tonight. And before we go into it, we open our phone lines, we're going to hear from Willie Bell. I believe that he has a song out that in many ways speak to the best intent of parents, but also explain where sometimes good people fall short. All right, so let's get right into it. Heritage need to be taught to young people. Now, should you wait till they get to the public school to teach this, or is this something that should start at home? Heritage has to do with the property I said the property, the real thing that you have to hold that is yours, that is passed on to one generation to the next. Something of value that can bring success, passed on from one generation to the next. Something that is acquired from a predecessor, one parent or grandparent or great-grandparent, the legacy or the inheritance. What is it that we're teaching our children is yours and yours only? Something that possesses and has the results of one's own natural situation, specific to you. This is yours. You ain't got to fight nobody for it. You ain't got to beg nobody for it. You don't have to cry for this. This is automatically yours. What we're really talking about is your birthright. How well is that taught? See, again, you can put anything in their head, but what's the most important thing that they need? And we're talking about urban youth that seem to be challenged, okay? Now, when we talk about that birthright issue, we're talking about being proud of your Afro heritage. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you're not afraid to embrace your nose or your lips or your eyes or your head structure. Maybe sometimes my head look nappy. You understand what I'm saying? But whatever the case may be, you're not afraid to embrace who you see. When we're talking about heritage, we're talking about this rich social experience. Yes, we've had some turbulent experience in America as a people of Afro descent, but we've had some great examples as well. How well are we teaching our babies that? That you can capitalize and build on those things. Positive accomplishments that have gone on before you. Black History Month was an example last month. We focused on that. Great stories, great stories. How well are we as parents and members of our local communities and neighborhood fostering that training, that education that may not be done in public schools? Perhaps it doesn't need to be there. It has to start at home. This is part of the partnership of parents. Identity. Parents, beloved, let me tell you that if your child grows up from birth to an age that they can walk, stop walking to run, and to get into all kind of trouble, and they don't know who they are, it's easy for anybody to convince them, come run with me. But when you know who you are, it leads to something. Identity is the condition of having a character. See, the reason can't nobody plant anything on you is because you've been trained, you've been taught to develop your individual character. And everybody that knows you know who you are and what you're about. So if somebody try to plant something on you or blame something on you, it's easy for folks to say, no, that ain't who we know. That can't be right. But if you out there running wild with everybody else, ain't no difference, excuse my English, there's no difference in your behavior and theirs. You understand what I'm saying. Lay it on me. You got young people who think it's okay to walk around without some sort of identification. Well, technically, the truth of the matter is, how are you going to distinguish yourself from someone else? How are you going to be able to establish that you are an individual person? You're unique, right? And you have your own self-efficacy, your own identity, your own way of being seen and respected, which you have a right to. Your history, your beliefs distinguishes you from others. And we've talked about different ethnicities, Asian or Hispanic or African or Afro or German. These are distinct characteristics or patterns of behavior that make you know. Now, a lot of times people talk about profiling. The truth of the matter is that unfortunately in our neighborhoods, in African-American neighborhoods, precincts where it's predominantly African-American and there's poverty and unemployment and things, all those things and those trifactors there, what you find is that there are certain behaviors that are common, unfortunately, to many of our young people who get caught up in the game, in the streets. Now, knowing that, we should teach our young people to distinguish themselves from that. Okay, so it's not easy for them to be profiled in a negative way. Okay, we're talking about developing your own likeness that will follow you for the rest of your life. Then we're talking about from the standpoint of personal ability or capability. Our babies need to be taught how to develop themselves and recognize their limitations, their strengths, and their weaknesses. They need to be conscious of the fact that you have talent. You have skill sets. Okay? And you need to know what you are most proficient in. A lot of times young people go and try to get in where they fit in, and they get caught up because they don't fit, but they don't know that. And they're not aware of their own proficiencies, their failures, and their inadequacies. And then when they try to do something that they're not prepared to do and they fail, it damages their ego, their self-esteem, and they just give up, quit, never want to try anything again. When you scold them for making a mistake or doing something out of order and you never properly teach them what was wrong and to embrace them and say, this is an instructional moment, I love you, it caused them to go into their little shell and become introverted and not want to talk about it. And believe it or not, it follows people well throughout latency in life. Okay? The lesson of purpose is necessary to be taught to babies. What do you mean by purpose, Dr. Reed? Well, purpose is nothing more than the reason for your being. Why are you here? What are you here to do? And when and how are you going to be about the business of getting it done? If you can't answer that as an individual, you're almost subject to anybody else's will. One of the things within the Afro-American experience historically is even after slavery, the North had an agenda, the South had an agenda, but there was not a well-defined, unified agenda for the former slaves. And today what happens often is that people are waiting, good people now, are waiting on others to give them a sense of purpose and direction where they should go. If you start high school and you don't have a clue of who you are and what your purpose is, it's going to be difficult for you to go in there, focus through the curriculum and taking advantage of it in order to prepare yourself for post-secondary training in college or in some other skill set, some sort of vocational skill. If you're not aware of that, you're just kind of loosely dangling around waiting on somebody else. Okay? So purpose is that reason and that motivation and that drive that sets your goals, your objectives, and your intentions. Most of the time when police are facing young people on the street in arrest-type situations, they're on the street. It's not at home. It's not in a church. It's not in a school, generally speaking. It's on the street, on the block. So why are our babies just hanging out on the block? I've said it many times before. If you find a teenager, 15, 14, 12, 13-year-old, standing on the streets after 9 o'clock p.m., I don't care if they got a banana or a pistol in their hand. Something is wrong. And the problem is that child is not well supervised. With all due respect. All right. Now, I promise you that we're going to look at a male character type. And I want you to consider this being a... I wrote a book some years ago entitled Let Us Make a Goddamn Man: Antidotes for the Identity Crisis of the Afro Male. And we listed 20 character types. And these were based on my experience as an educator, as a pastor, and someone who worked in the community and so forth and so on through my nonprofit organization, helping young men. This is one of those individuals. The names have been changed, okay? But the circumstance and the character is the same. Bobby is an 18-year-old. Since age 13, he's been in and out of the juvenile detention facilities. Both Bobby has murdered 3 people in his life. But due to being a minor, the one person that he was charged with murder at age 15, he's currently serving adjudication, not locked up in an adult prison, but he's adjudicated to a juvenile detention facility until he's age 21, which means he can get out at that age. Bobby has told his case manager in the juvenile facility that as a little boy, he started his murder spree, and he was encouraged to kill his first victim for an adult who did not want to commit that crime and go to jail. Well, little Bobby was looking up to him. Little Bobby learned he was educated. And somebody motivated Bobby because Bobby needed something. All right? Kill that individual. And as a result, now he's in juvenile detention. Now, as a reward, that adult, chronologically grown individual, recklessly gave Bobby the title, the nickname, Le Killer. Made Bobby feel like he was somebody. And it stuck with Bobby. He called me Le Killer. I'm somebody now. You understand what I'm saying? Since then, Bobby has identified himself by that flamboyant title given to him by that reckless individual who was an adult, who he looked up to. The question is, where did Bobby learn that from? Friends, Willie Bell wrote a song that best describes the sincerest intentions of many parents who want to do things for their children, but sometimes they fall short. They don't mean any harm, but they fall short. And here's just for a second, listen to Willie Bell, and then we'll open our phone lines. We have a caller in with us here, and we'll get right to you there. Here we go. Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're going to get right into it. Our phone lines are open, 657-383-0944. Get in where you fit in. Willie Bell did the best he could to show his love, in this case to his woman. But what he also fell short of is stopping to spend time with her because he was working all day, all night. And oftentimes, parents things in the interest of their children. But guess what? If we don't focus on what we need to do and the lessons we need to plan our time in, our babies will grow up and get away from us. We're talking from the topic how education affects the social behavior of urban youth. Welcome to Talk Straight there. It looks like we got 615-6226. Welcome. Is this a new caller? I don't know if they hear me. Okay, 0405. Welcome to Talk Straight.
Hey, how everybody doing?
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine. And Pastor Walla, I see you there. We got your friend, 3272. 3072 in the house, Pastor.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing?
Hello,
3072. Go ahead, Pastor. Go
hey,
ahead.
How y'all doing?
All right, 3072. How you doing?
Good, good.
Very good.
3072, I'm going to pick on you tonight. 6226, whenever you hear, just get on in here, okay? I'm going to pick on you tonight, 3072. I know you. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. I know you love me. I love you, too. Look here. Where do we go wrong in our money? Where do we go wrong? Correct me here.
I missed some of it. I've been absent because I've been having to study for this big test I've had coming up. So I'm just going to hold your hand and listen for a little bit.
All right, then. How much did you hear, Pastor Waller?
It's an interesting thing that you said something about this little brother by the name of, what is his name, Bobby?
Yeah, well, that's the name that we didn't give his real name, but he's a real person.
Yeah, but I'm utilizing that name Bobby on how he got in trouble. You say, was he smart, very intelligent, and he followed some kind of example of someone else? And they gave
him
a
street hustler. Yeah, the street hustler. They gave him a nickname.
Right? And sometimes those nicknames would cause you to be stripped from your original name. And it would become you. So that name that you say he was given was called Lil Cuba.
That's right? He was proud of it too, man. He was proud of it.
Well, I mean, he had to adopt that name because it sounded like, you know, I can handle it. And you know, I thought that was pretty cool. I'm sure, but somebody gave him that name, and he embraced it. And when you do things like this, sometimes now, you have a tendency to carry it out.
Wow.
And, you know, that's where I came in at, man. You know, it's just.
Okay.
Pastor,
I like the way you started that, because that's where young people get caught up. And we talk about education. It's not that they haven't learned something. You know, you ask the question, where did you learn, where did you start learning how to be a murderer and killing folk at 13 years old? Where'd you get that from? Right? Where did you learn how to sell dope? To chop dope up. Where did you learn how to rob somebody? Where did you learn how to lie and steal? It's not that they're not learning something. They get an education, but they're not getting a proper education.
Can I throw something in there?
Come on, talk to me, baby girl. Talk to me. Talk to me.
This Nicole.
Yeah, come on, Nicole.
I wanna put this in there. Wonder if you is 13. And your mom say, you think you grown, so get out. And you don't know to call DCS. You don't know what to do. All the thing you can do is just get out. What if you at that age, you at an age and you just being rebellious and stuff, and your mama just put you out? So what do you do? Because some of them folks are put in a position like that and don't know what to do. They don't know to call the Department of Children Services. They don't know to report it. They don't know. They just only go to the streets and to the people that will accept them and take them in.
That is absolutely right, Nicole. And this is what I mean by there's a need for cultural transformation. And that's why we're looking at tonight education. We have to ask ourselves, what do we need to educate our babies to? First of all, what do we need to educate grown people that they're looking up to? Now, in this case, Nicole, little Bobby was failed by both his parents and this chronologically grown adult that set him up to commit a crime. Now, what else? Can you really blame little Bobby for it, though?
His identity was taken away from him.
Wow.
He didn't even have a chance. He didn't even know who he was. He was trying to find out who he was. He was trying to learn. Some people, and I know today, you can't, even from down to me being 40, I ask questions, and it's like I got to pay for some questions. I got to pay for the answers. And I'm like, why should I have to pay for the answers when here you is? You're supposed to be a leader, and you don't want to guide me no kind of way.
You're talking tonight, Nicole. You're talking tonight, girl. You're talking tonight. You're talking tonight. Okay, okay. Listen, I see we have 4639. Welcome to the discussion tonight.
Good evening.
All right, all right. And we also have 1080 and 1098 with us. And welcome, gentlemen. How y'all doing tonight?
All right, pretty good. How's everybody doing?
Great, 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 great. 6226, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Okay, good. Any question or comment?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, we appreciate you joining in with us tonight. So, now, let me go back to what we were talking about. I listed those four things. And I'm not saying that those are comprehensive, those are everything that need, but certainly those are four key things that are missing when it comes to making sure that the education as parents in a community our young people get. See, now, I'll tell you, in some of the best schools, parents are picking this end up for their children, and that's one of the reasons why their children are so successful in school and beyond. But if you don't put something in your babies, I'm talking about at birth now, and you got to begin telling your babies in the womb that you're somebody, who you are, you're loved, and you're going to be great because of who you are. That's your responsibility as the first teacher for the child. So education is important, and there is a public component, and then there is a more closely related social, family-orientated component. But if we don't know, how are we going to teach it? It's like a tree falling in a forest with nobody that are with it. Heritage, identity, capability, and purpose. I want to ask my friend 1080, what do you think about that, 1080? You there? All right, let's go to 1098. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Did you hear my question, 1080?
I did. I was like, can you come back to me?
Okay, I'll come back to you. 1098, did you hear the question that we posed?
No comment. I'm just going to listen.
Okay, tempo. I know Professor Omar.
Well, I wanted to add something.
Go ahead, 3072.
I'm sorry, go ahead with the.
No,
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, go ahead,
darling.
You go ahead. 3072, go. Go, 3072.
Okay. I was just going to be in agreement with you. As far as for me goes, I learned all of what I know, which is to embrace who I am as a person from just my upbringing and my family first. So, yes, I know who I am, and because I know who I am and who I should be, then that's helped to keep me out of trouble along the way.
That's so true. That's so true. So true. That's something that good people are not aware of. And if we focus on that 3072 with our children, that you don't have to try to fit in with everybody. In fact, some people you don't need to fit in with at all. You follow what I'm saying? You know, you are unique. Yeah, you be a leader. You be a leader. You be a leader. Let me go to Professor Robertson. He's joining us tonight. Professor, any comment, question thus far?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Pastor Doc, the thing that comes to mind. And I'll just, you know, real quickly, in 2007, I was a part of a TV show, and we were talking about an Obama presidency. And we had the wrong assumption going into that around the infrastructure that's needed to deliver excellence. And
okay.
I think I mentioned this before, but at the end of the day, we have what we need. So as an example, if you want to – if you're looking for a really great basketball player, do you go to the black community or the Jewish community? And the question is, why? Why would you go to either one? And the answer is usually, well, I'm going to put it out there to the group. Where would you go, a black community or a Jewish community?
Yeah, you recall we addressed that, and Pastor Waller, interestingly enough, used his own personal experience in response to that.
Yes.
But and in truth, Professor, because there are certain characteristics in the black community where you can find that natural agility and those skill sets, that's the tendency to go there. Now, how can we best tap into, though, other aspects of our young people beyond their physical agility? That's the real question.
It's not their physical agility. It's the focus that the community places on and the importance that the community places on developing this skill set and being expert at developing this skill set.
I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
And once we leverage that infrastructure and that system and those processes, and when we point it in a different direction, in another direction,
okay,
we have what we need.
I see. Now, that's interesting, Professor, and guys on the panel here, because the argument people make between Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, Du Bois said we should have all our children to be scholars, intellectual individuals, speaking the best English and things of that nature. But Booker T. was saying, listen, that's all right, but we know what they can do well. Let's focus on driving our attention toward giving them credit for that and allowing them to make a living for themselves in America after slavery. Because we know it. They built the antebellum South. They built the railroads, and they made a lot of people rich. Now let them make something for themselves with their natural skill. What do you think about
but
that, Pastor? Go ahead, Nicole.
But let me ask you this. If I see something, like to me today, if I see a young child that's out here abandoned, I'm going to call, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to. I'm going to help them, but I also am going to report it.
Sorry. You're going to get somebody in trouble, Nicole. Hey,
I want to help this child. In order for me to help this child, I got to also do what's right, and that is report it. If I don't report it, then I won't help that. I'm not helping that child or the purpose. You see what I'm saying? If I'm doing it out of spite, then that's another thing. But if I really want to help this child, I have to report some stuff if I see it, you know. Especially if a child out here and they talk to you and they know they're supposed to be in the house. You see what I'm saying?
Nicole, I agree with you 100%. But have you heard the phrase, snitches get stitches?
What am I supposed to do? Just sit there and watch that child?
No, I think you're right. Nicole, here's the lesson tonight, Nicole. You're right on it, darling. Here's the lesson tonight. As a community of people, we have to say that that's a no-no. None of our children should be left out in the cold and unattended to. And if any one of us see any of our babies, we should automatically act like it's our own. You're right on it. But one of the problems that plagues the many, I won't say everybody, but many in the African-American community is this unwritten code that we don't tell on each other. Well, if you're wrong, if you're sick, if you're out of order, somebody needs to get you straight. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so you're right on. You're dead on. Pastor Waller, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know what I've always thought about the situation. You know, since I'm out of it, you know, and I had to put myself right back in it and think about how I would feel if somebody would tell something over me, and I'm out there lost, and I'm out there captured, and nobody is bringing forth the greatest information of them all, because I want to get to the core of the problem. I don't want to get to that part where I get locked up and just come right back out and do the same thing, because this might be a solution for me. I'm done here.
Right.
And I should have been stopped. I needed to be stopped. I'm corrupting my community. And I was what they call whatever they put it, snitched on, whatever you say. I went to jail, but when I got there, guess what I did? He came back and done the same thing.
Talking your phone a little bit better for us, Pastor.
Yeah, I said that was not the solution. I said I was using myself as an example of being young and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I was told I was snitched on, however you might want to put those words.
Right.
I went to jail. I got right back out when I did and came back out and done the same thing. So that was not the solution. The solution is how to keep the stuff from being in our community, period.
You
know what I mean? That's getting all the way down to the bottom line. And because this thing is intentional, you know, and it's not that I'm saying it's not an opinion, it's just the truth.
Can I say something, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
I don't care who it is. If you're out of order, you're out of order. Now, if you don't know you're out of order, maybe you don't know to start correcting yourself. But if I see my brother and he's at fault and out of order, I have a duty because I care about him, so I got a duty, Nicole, to let them know, look, man, you out of order, brother, sister. Is that right, Nicole?
That's right. And you can talk, and I've been there. You can go talk to them, and they still won't listen to you. So what do you do next? You can't do nothing but record it, or either you go home and you act like you didn't see it.
Wow. Wow. You know, Nicole, I've asked the question a few times on this show. If you and your friend, your brother, your sister, are out in the Atlantic Ocean, and the only person know how to swim is you, and your brother, your sister, will, out of fear, keep kicking and pulling, and both of y'all are subject to drown, do you leave them or do you swim to safety yourself? And if not, how do you save them? And you know what the answer is, Nicole? You got to knock them smooth out. They're going to be mad at you. And they're going to have a headache and a hickey when you get the show. But guess what? They still allowed to be bad. And that's I believe that's where we need to focus on our community, our neighborhood. We have to be so selfish. I'm going to love the hell out of you. And you ain't got to like it. But ain't nothing you can do about it. What about that 1080? Yes, 1080 is kind of working with 3072. What do you think about Go ahead.
That's right. I agree with what everybody was saying. I mean, you can't just play like you don't see it, even if they won't take the help from you. Maybe somebody out there can reach them.
Okay. Go ahead, Professor. What were you going to say, Professor Robinson?
But Pastor, I'm going to go back to what you said earlier, and actually just piggybacking on the last time. There are people out there that are engaging with these young people, and they have mentors. The question is, where are they guiding them? How are they guiding them? In what direction? So we have the systems and the infrastructure, as you mentioned. The question is where and who are guiding these individuals and in what direction?
Right.
Okay,
they're going to talk to them. They're going to do things with them.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, 3072 and then Nicole.
He was mentioning the professor, the infrastructure, and where are they guiding them? And that's a good question. So are they guiding them by the books and manuals that's written for them to guide everybody, or are they guiding them on an individual kind of basis, so to speak? Again, everybody's not the same.
Right. Okay. Go ahead, Nicole. What were we going to say?
I'm gonna say this. I know some of those mentors, like with big brothers and big sisters, some of them are not all who they say they is, because I'm experiencing some of that sympathy now, where somebody came to me and they told me, and it took a long time for them to share this with me. that big brother mentor from the Boys and Girls Club had sexually assaulted him.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, my.
Yes. And it really hurt me because why? For the simple fact that they kept this a secret for a very long time until they was able to be comfortable to open up because they were seeing they would then need a certain funds, and that's what they was providing. So therefore, they did whatever they was asking them to do.
Right. Well, I want to respond to Professor's point, which is a good point, in terms of how are we capitalizing or focusing on taking advantage of the systems in place. Now, I went to Chicago a couple of years ago, and we were working with a couple of churches there, and we brought our model. That doesn't mean that it was the perfect model, right? But it was focused on... It was focused on using the resources, and this was in the Inglewood community, the resources that were there already, so that when Building Families and Communities Institute left, the people there, Professor, were in a position to be cognizant or consciously aware of what was working and when they need to make some changes from time to time. When I look back now, I realize because everybody was not fully in agreement on documenting best practices and the things they were most successful at, it kind of fell by the wayside. Is that what you're making reference to, Professor?
Yes. And as an example, when we use the term mentor, we need to understand that mentors can guide you down the path for good or the path for evil. So it's not just big brothers and big sisters and boys and girls. The people that are out there, as you mentioned, Pastor, they are providing guidance and direction for our young people.
Right.
They are mentors.
That's right. You know, that's interesting you say that. In 2011, I was fortunate to be a presenter at the Tennessee School Social Workers, their regular conference, right, annual conference. And so I was a breakout presenter. We had teachers in there and school social workers. I asked one of the – this lady was – I think she was teaching for 20, 30-some years. And I asked her if a little guy came to your class from the street – she was from Chattanooga. If a little guy came to your class from the street and he got in trouble, you had to put him out, write him up and everything. And his cousin was a gangbanger, but his cousin had his undivided attention. What can you use his cousin for? She said, absolutely nothing. I don't want him near them babies. Did she miss out on the opportunity, y'all? Anybody?
Well, I think it all depends on.
It depends. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, 3072.
No, I was going to say possibly he could have missed out, but then again, maybe not. It just depends on the mindset of that person. Were they still out there gangbanging and, you know, with a warped mind? If so, then they should keep him away from those babies because they are easily guided.
Let me play devil's advocate with you, 3072. But the catch is he could have told LaShawty go in there and lay down and be quiet, man. Don't give her no problem. You follow what I'm saying? Do we not tap into that resource in his life?
Yeah, but again, that's not what they're doing. The whole thing nowadays is rebel. F the police and any kind of authority figure.
Right. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Nicole, what were you going to say, darling?
I was going to say it depends on what his mindset was at. If his mindset had changed, he could offer the kids some kind of mentor. But if his mindset hadn't changed, he was still gangbanging, then of course he couldn't offer nothing.
Right.
Agreed.
Pastor Waller, you know what most people are afraid to do? And these are people who say they are stakeholders and want to make a difference. They're afraid to go out and have a sensible conversation with the gangbanger and the dope dealer about how to make their community better. Why is that, Pastor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they may be afraid. You know, I think this, my belief is that if they have information and they don't, and they won't do it, it could
mm-hmm.
be either they don't see, either they don't care, or maybe they are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a sad situation. And I want to say this, if you will. Anytime a person is dealing with something that he's not familiar with,
right,
and you're going out into a place of location where people are doing all that they can do to possibly survive,
mm-hmm.
you have to go out there and tell them to stop doing something. But see, from my learning, from what I was taught, and from things that I was doing, somebody came out there and said something to me, but they never told me to stop doing what I was doing. They never said,
okay,
stop selling drugs.
Right.
And that was the appropriate way to come out of these. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you say something that you never done before, if you don't know anything about what it's like to sell drugs, don't come out there and try to tell them about this stuff.
That's
you know,
true.
You have to find a better approach than that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's disrespectful. To me, I believe it's disrespectful because since I know what the drugs are doing, I can easily go out there and see, look here, stop selling that dope. We ain't selling no more dope. But look at, and then I have to remember, I used to do that.
Right.
And they come and tell me to stop, I think that would be a sad case because I don't know if I would have been able to stop or not.
I see.
Even though
I
they
see.
Didn't ask me, they didn't tell me, but just the thought
right.
of it, you know what I mean? I'm already captured, and then you come out and tell me to stop. You know,
okay.
how would they respond? You know, what would they think of me to tell me, Minister Richardson, did you used to do this? What can I say? Other than, yeah, somebody came out there, and I could say, no, I didn't see. You know? But eventually I stopped because somebody cared. And that's
right.
how to find a better approach than trying to tell somebody to stop doing something that they don't know how to stop doing. You
so,
know?
Yeah.
So, Pastor, were those babies successfully educated? Those that wind up getting dying before they turn 18 or wind up in a juvenile detention, did their education mm-hmm. fail them?
Were they educated? Yes, they were. Yeah, some of them were very highly educated. I don't know, I think I might have said this one time. I'm going to let you have it after this. I don't know if I shared this before or not, but there was a guy that was in my classroom in the Cone High School. And, you know, he's very smart. And I just wanted to play basketball and keep doing what I was doing, selling drugs and things like I was doing. And in order for me to pass, to be able to play basketball, I had to get a good grade.
Okay.
And so I gave my paper to him, and he took care of it, and then gave me his paper. And then by the time everything was, you know, was ready to be turned in, I made a good grade.
I guess.
You see what I'm saying? And this guy was really smart, but guess what he ended up doing in his life? He got on drugs.
Wow.
Mm.
And he was very smart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All that decision on how to do whether you're smart or not, or whether you're kind of how good you can read, or how good you can work, where you came from. If you get kept into that drug game, man, I mean, that's a vicious game.
So,
you don't care where you're coming from.
And you know what? And some of the problem from the drugs and stuff, it comes from ignoring the problem. When I say ignoring the problem, like kids be trying to talk to people, and when they talk to them, they give them all the wrong information instead of telling them the truth. And the truth should be you should honor your mother, your father, and your day should be longer. And you should learn how to ask for help and get the help you need. Counseling and medicine is not enough. These kids need some kind of programs. They need also television programs to show them what they will end up like instead of all these other false programs that they got advertising on TV. People need to start acting it out because it's real, you know.
You know, Nicole, what happens to, and again, these are good people who mean well. That's why I play Willie Bell, because it's the relationship. You know, what happens oftentimes, Nicole and rest of the panel, is out of a fear that I've I failed my child and I done something wrong, mm-hmm. I don't want to acknowledge that, so I'm going to pretend like it doesn't exist, right? And you're right, Nicole.
Yes.
You're right, Nicole. Hold on 1 second, Nicole. Follow what I'm saying. There are a lot of babies crying out for help, but because
mm-hmm.
the adults are hurting themselves internally,
mm-hmm.
it's difficult
mm-hmm.
for them to give them or get them the help they need. Now,
yep.
that's a very sad thing, but it's an unfortunate reality. It may be in other ethnic groups, but I know within the African-American community. And that's where that dysfunctionality
yep.
that we see, it permeates not only one household, but the whole block. And I think that's where this notion of snitches get stitches comes from. We know they wrong. We know little Ray Ray is
yeah.
wrong. But we don't want little Ray Ray mama to cry when Ray Ray go to jail or get hurt. But he dead wrong.
Yeah. But I think what it is, because I remember when my babies was going to the school, I liked the Kentucky. Kentucky did have a good school system because they would have teachers come to the home.
Okay.
They would take our time and they'll come to the home and do a home study and they'll walk through the home and everything. And that's another thing that I think that they probably need, you know. And then not just that, when we was growing up, they had programs like summer program. When you get out of school, you can go to work. They don't have none of that in place no more.
Took a lot of that out. That's so true. That's so true. I think 37 is trying to go ahead. Go ahead, Professor. Go ahead.
I when I hear the term they, it automatically makes me ask the question, how involved are we in those decisions in determining what happens in our schools?
Yes.
The school boards are responsible for making these decisions to determine if we have, technical skills, so shop class, vocational training. And as parents, as community members, we have a say in those decisions. How involved are we? It's not them,
mm-hmm.
it's us.
Yes,
I agree with you.
That's true.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you,
and Professor, hold on 1 second, Nicole.
Okay.
Some things that we take for granted is the fact that whoever is your school board representative, they're at the whim of the people that elect them. And if the people are not organized, they come in and do absolutely nothing in the interest of the people, waste taxpayer dollars and everything. And more importantly, if, like Nicole, if you're not up at the school making your presence known, and this is what you're talking about, Professor, and you're not insisting on accountability, and I'm not trying to impugn the character of teachers in general. Unfortunately, there are some bad people in every profession. But so I'm not trying to do that. I want to be clear about that. But unfortunately, there are times where if you don't come and make your presence known, your child may not get what they need. And they are crying to you to say they need it, but, you know, they're babies. You understand what I'm saying?
Well.
So go ahead, 372. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, so we should focus on the kids. But we should put more focus on the family. The
Amen.
Family, because
mm-hmm.
that's who the kids are in the care and the hands of. So we should teach, the parents what, like
right.
you said, what they should, the questions that they should be asking, the rules that they should make sure are in place.
Wow.
How to teach your child to value themselves as a person, as a human being. And yeah, I mean, so the family structure is, that's to me, that's the key. That's the bottom line. Because after school program is over for an hour and a half, or the little mentor thing is over, the one day a week thing, what's left? It's
right.
like, to me, it's given a false sense of a security blanket.
Wow.
This is only for a certain time. It's just for a short time. Then when I'm done with that, what now? I go home to a dark house.
That is true. And then not just that, also some of the programs that is put in place, some of them don't feel safe because, you know, I know a lot of people that say we go to the football game, we can't go enjoy the football game because it's guns that's being pulled out.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's been going on a lot. Like, how do these kids get guns? I'm talking about 13, 14-year-old kids having guns.
Right.
Well,
ladies,
and then, too, can I say, let me just say this one last thing.
Go ahead,
I don't have small kids, but I would be concerned about, I don't want no just, and I'm sure I'm not saying everybody out there is on that, but I don't trust people, and I don't want just some strange person rearing my child, or you know what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I'm just, people are molesting kids. They doing everything under the sun to them. So I rather you teach me, and then I'll instill that in my child.
Okay.
That's true.
I was just going to say, ladies, I'm going to do a little station break here. But I was just going to say that next, on the 20th and the 22nd, our conversations will be germane to that third pillar, which was theology of your community or your culture. And so the question is, where do parents go to learn what we're talking about? You know, where do they get this information about the things that they need to teach their children? And that's the church house. Or the religious institution, that's my inference anyway. And that so the week of on the 20th and 22nd, those days are going to cover that particular thing. Now next week we'll talk about how economic impact moving a urban area forward. But you all raised some great points there. I appreciate you saying that. Let me just make the station break. This is Talk Straight. You're listening to. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Pastor Ricky Wilde. Our regular panel is on with us, and we have some great conversation going here. We're talking from the topic tonight, how education affects the social behavior of urban American youth. And we go right back to the phone lines now. Let me just say you guys have been very patient, and I know you're listening to us. 615-6226, any question or comment thus far? Okay, perhaps not. How about you, 1098 or 1098 or 1080?
Well, 1098. I'm just listening. I'm absorbing. Thinking.
Okay. All right. Well,
you know, and I'd rather not make up your filth on my comments. You know, because I don't want to.
Okay.
You know, I plead.
Well, you know, you at home, right?
I do realize that, but you know, as stated, I listen, I observe, and I think sometimes it's best to just be quiet and just listen and think. You know, let me go to the professor. I understand his point when he used the basketball players talking about characteristics and things of that nature. But listen to this, professor. If you wanted,
yes.
Some people to participate in the half pike in the Swallow, would you go to the black neighborhoods or would you go to the white neighborhoods? See, that goes two ways.
They have characteristics also. Oh, and here's why. And I'm going to answer the I'm going to go where people demonstrate success, where they consistently produce excellence. Where they have the infrastructure
in
place.
So therefore, you don't go to the Negro for the half pike and the snowboard and giant swallow. You go to the white people. There you go.
Hold on, it has nothing to do with their skin color. My point is, it has nothing to do with the amount of melanin in your skin. It's about the focus and the sacrifices and the things that we do when we say that this is important.
But
you're teaching them pretty much to focus on that, and that only is what it sounds like. I mean, when you target there, then that's what you're teaching them the focus is, to me, is what it sounds like.
No, what I'm saying is
you're telling
that is
me,
where
you're
we are placing our focus.
Oh, I'm not.
That's
there's
why I
none
wanted
my...
to plead the fifth, because I don't want to start an argument. That's why I want to.
Okay.
Like, hey,
all right, hold on 1 second.
Real...
Let's hear. Let's
okay.
Let's
well,
hear the different points of
okay.
view. Go ahead.
Well,
37
can I just
two,
say
we'll
something?
Go ahead, 37.
All right, and I'm not trying to argue, but that kind
that's
of hurt
okay,
me
darling.
To
it's
hear
just,
that.
Can you
okay, can I? Okay. So that hurt me to hear that. And Professor, with all the respect, with the highest respect to you, but no, I have none of my children, I ever aspired for them to be ball players or rappers or any other common thing that African Americans thrive monetarily off. What I did try to instill from day one was, for one, them, their character, two, them knowing who they are, and three, trying to have them educated. Now, whatever steered from that, then that's what it got. But what I got from what you were saying to me, it sounded like that's what we should focus on because that's what's been given. And
no,
I,
no,
I
that's
just
no,
don't
no,
agree
no, no,
with
no.
that.
No,
yeah, that's
absolutely not.
That's
okay.
Not what,
what I'm saying is we know how to produce excellence, and we continually produce excellence. It's where
okay.
we focus on producing that excellence. And I'm glad that you raised your kids in a way where you said, you know what, there's more than just this path. There's more than just
sure.
this, you know, lane. There are all of these other
sure.
opportunities. And
sure.
what I'm saying is let's use the same, you know, sacrifices and the support from the community and so on, the same systems and infrastructures and processes that we use to consistently produce excellence. Let's focus in these other areas just like you did.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I want to say that I appreciate 1098's position where he's coming from, that when you look at these different scenarios, there's always two sides to the coin. Now, but I you know, it's very interesting, though. some of the greatest accomplishments of African-Americans often go without them benefiting from it. In fact, other people come in, observe those accomplishments, write books about them, and all of a sudden they're the expert on you. And
yep.
one of the reasons that happens is because, and this is where Professor's going, I'm sure, is we tend not to, many, I'm not saying everybody, but many people tend to do things and be great at it, Nicole, but they tend not to give themselves credit by documenting it and make
sure.
and replicating that among others so that you control
okay.
the copyright. You control the recognition, and people have to come to you whenever they need that particular gift or the contribution. And in 3072, oftentimes when we look back in retrospect, we say, dang, I missed that opportunity. I'm not saying you personally, but many
yeah.
people say, I missed that opportunity. The
mm-hmm.
thing to do
mm-hmm.
is not to be upset and not to feel like that's an indictment, but to say in the interest of others so that they won't miss it, let me embrace the idea and the practice of encouraging others to recognize that and to replicate that. And I think that's really the
yeah.
– I know that that's the professor's angle, but, Professor, I think what you're hearing in our dialogue over the last few days is that it's not as simple when you present that to the people that need it the most. Sometimes it sounds like that's real simple and easy, but if you can't get past this social-emotional construct that keep you in a certain
yeah.
behavior pattern, it's hard for you to
yeah.
see yourself doing something different. And that's what happens
right.
and,
a lot.
I led the 100 Black Men in Chicago. I've led mentoring organizations. I work with ex-offenders. I live in this space. I work
okay.
with a prison ministry program at the Tennessee Prison for Women. We worked at Charles Bass. And so I live in this space on a regular basis.
Okay.
And the thing that I found, to your point, you need to deal with the emotional piece, and that has to happen. But we also, there's a piece that says...
Closed down.
Oh, yes, it did.
Well,
we went from Charles Bass to the Tennessee Prison for Women. We started at Charles
Bass. Hold on
one.
hold on 1 second there, 1098. I'll come right back to you. Go ahead, Professor. Finish what you're saying.
Yeah, as when we started there, so that shows you how long we've been doing this. I've been involved in this space, but it goes way beyond that. And it's a different mindset when you start a conversation with you have the skill sets and help people to see how they demonstrate the ability to accomplish things and to leverage those skill sets on a regular basis. And so the key is to say you have these tools. Let's mm-hmm. refine them. Let's hone them. Let's sharpen these skills. But at the okay. end of the day, let's help you to focus in a different direction using the skills that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. That's fair enough. You know, guys, the thing is that. What's good about dialogue like this is that you may get a different perspective that perhaps you didn't consider. And at the end of the day, we're trying to go to the same place, and we want to see our youth successful. And I'll reiterate again, I was asked, why are you always talking about urban youth? Well, like nowhere else, the urban condition needs some specific and focused attention. Now, if you don't know that, you're not doing a very good job of looking out for urban concerns. You know, some people don't care. And if you're not about
now,
just making money, as Pastor Waller talks about all the time, then you know that you got to do what you got to do. You got to put your work in. Is that right, Pastor Waller?
Well, you have to. I mean, once you get started and once you get caught up, it's really easy to break that stronghold.
That's right.
What I mean? It's a good thing to do to break it, but good thing doesn't come easy. It's something that you have to learn how to fish. In other words, if you will, that's why the Word of God says that He would make you become fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know how to fish, you see, and that's the thing about what's going on out in the real world. They are hurting people that don't even know that they're hurting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Being in conflict, being gunned down, and all the other activities going around with it, which means they are numb. When you're numb, you have a tendency to not feel. You know what I mean? Even in the midst of pain, you still don't know how to feel. Now, when a person comes to their mind and realize that, man, look what I was in, you start to feel and you recognize. But until then, who have the correct information to take it where it belongs? And that is, I see it so often. Yeah, that's the only reason why I'm talking about it like I am, is that I see it so often because it's there, out there in the midst of it all. And yet, you know, do I feel like I'm making a difference? When I look around, I would say no. But deep down, it goes a little deeper than what my eyes can see. So I know that I am making a difference in my own corner of the world. I'm trying to reach everybody all at the same time. It's not my job, not my assignment. But I was told to go home to my friends and tell them what the Lord has done for me. That's my work.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Yep.
I walk and talk. That's what I do.
Yep.
And it's not
that
I'm not, you know, con people into, you know, to getting over here and seeing how it is to get over here. I know how hard it is for them brothers. A lot of them brothers get more money than I ever got probably today. But I'm sure they're having a very hard time, you know, trying to say, I'm going to stop and go get me a job. You're okay.
Okay.
Stop and go get a job.
Both of them to get a job.
What are we going to say?
Oh,
who is that?
That's not funny. They could stop and get a business.
Real funny.
Well,
they either got it done. Well, if you got a felony, they ain't trying to hire you. No matter if you got a high school diploma or GED.
Who told you that lie? I want to know who told you that lie. Now, I've been to penitentiary more than one time. And I get jobs, and I'm educated also, and I can do more than one thing. Now, who told you that lie? Don't believe that, because if you want a job, you're going to get a job. I don't care if you're making more than $7.25
an hour. I agree with you. That's right.
That's a lie, and it's a bald-faced lie.
But I'm talking
that's
about
right.
if
I agree,
Kenan.
Hold on. Let's just go
one second. That's what I mean.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nicole. We didn't hear you clearly, darling.
It's certain jobs that they are limited to. They are limited to it's only McDonald's or a warehouse that's
no,
open.
I disagree.
Excuse me. 1098, let her finish because I want you to explain to her how you go about making that not true or not a reality for you. So I hear where you come from, Tina. Hold on one second. Nicole, what were you saying now? What do you think the barrier is for, Nicole? What are you saying the barrier is?
Well, I'm speaking from experience. I didn't never have no felony, but I know a bunch of friends of mine that did have felonies. And when they got out, all they wanted to do was go to work. But only thing that was hiring them is McDonald's or warehouse. And I know somebody right now, the warehouse wanted to hire him until he 3 or 4 years out. And,
okay.
And so the only thing he able to work is McDonald's.
All right. Now, I want you to listen to 1098. He's speaking from personal, practical experience about how someone who's facing felony can make a difference for themselves. Take the flow, 1098. You got it.
All right. Now, with number one, knowing how to do more than one thing, which I could do more than one thing. I have a driver license, not a Class D driver license, and I turned into a Class A driver license. I've had all kind of driver jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college, got a degree.
Mm-hmm.
I can work in that field if I so well choose. I never had to work at McDonald's. You know, it's more than McDonald's out there. Yes, a lot of places, when you get out of prison or whatever, they ask you, how old is your felony? You know, your felony can be 10 years old, but you just got out of penitentiary yesterday. Yeah, they go back 7 years. A lot of them go back 10 years concerning felons and things of that nature because they want to see whether or not you're going to stay out here. There are jobs out
there.
Right. And warehouse jobs, oh, you got a lot of warehouse jobs out here paying good money.
So you're saying
jobs are out here.
So 1098, you're saying it's about your mindset. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I say it all the time. You know, I'm a fighter. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser.
I believe that, but it's just I'm saying, like, when first of all, I'm not saying that it's not no opportunity for them to do anything at that present time. I'm talking about at that present time.
Sound like it, like, it sounds like they're not that educated and they're not go getters. You know, that's no excuse. You know, I mean, I've been in prison myself. And then when I hear crap like that, oh, you're already fair weak. You're already saying you want to go back out here, out there, and keep doing what you're doing, and then you want to go back. Why don't you try to build something for yourself? Now, talk about education all the time on here.
So,
education is the key, but first of all, you got to find the Lord.
Yeah, so 1098, that's exactly why we're having this conversation, because we realize that there are some people frozen. They're frozen in a state of mind of inaction. And we understand that. So when we talk about educating 1090, we got to make sure we shake them out of that false reality. That
mindset. You know, that mindset.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in prison with guys. We did a lot of years in prison. A lot of them came out, got good construction jobs, making good money. You have real convicts out here that are making money, and you know, haven't went back to the penitentiary. And every day we're trying to find a different avenue to go down to secure ourselves. If one thing falls through, one door shut, another one is open. You know.
Listen to this right here. I just had a surgery.
And my surgery is going to require me not to be up on my feet for 2 minute hours at a time. As stated, I got a driver's license, so guess what? I already have a job driving instead of standing on my feet, and I'm a convict. And here I am, I'm a convict. And look, I'm not going to make no $8 or $9 an hour. You know what I mean? Now, all this old crap, these boys is what I call them. They don't want nothing. All they want somebody to give them something. I don't feel sorry for them.
We're going to pick that up next week when we talk about economics. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit next week when we talk about the impact of
economics on your community.
Okay. Listen, we got to, 9 minutes, Pastor Waller. What are you doing with the clock, man?
Not again. 37 minutes on that, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it.
Yeah. So here's where we are, guys. I don't want us, this is great conversation. I want to leave with this thought before we leave, and I want to get this in there. Now, the truth of the matter is, in 1098, I feel you, brother. And Nicole, I hope you consider what he's saying, Nicole. But the truth is, 1098, when you grow up like Lil Killer or Bobby, thinking that your greatest accomplishment would be to please somebody who does not have your best interest at heart. And it's not just, sometimes we think it's just the white man. 1098.
No, I don't blame anyone.
The enemy is in the mirror. The enemy is in the mirror.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know,
and
now,
if we can overcome that enemy in the mirror.
Now, if Lil Bobby or Lil BB had ran across me in the penitentiary, Lil BB and Lil Bobby would have been came out there educated, out here educated, and moving on. I run across guys all the time that I help get those GEDs. So when I was in the penitentiary, I was an inmate lawyer. And the teacher's aide. I practically school. I see guys all the time kill me. If it weren't for me, they wouldn't have had a GED. But now, see, it's Lil Bobby, Lil BB, you got them out here. But see, they wear heat and then run up on their mommy.
What? Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy
Ghost. And these boys come up out of penitentiary hollering about they can't get no jobs. I tell them, but for number one, go to school and then find the Lord, and all doors open for you.
Let me shut up. Yes, sir.
Let me be quiet.
I think they're afraid to face their own thoughts. That's what I think.
Exactly.
True.
I think they're afraid to face their own thoughts. But we're here.
I can't
we're here
get
to make
no
a
job.
Difference.
Don't listen to that crap.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, hell, do like I did. I can work for myself if I want to. Hell. I didn't go to school to work for a doggone company or corporation. I got my GED, my education, to work for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to do that when I retire the next 5 years, if I need to see it. That's going to be my pastime. Not working for somebody else. I'm going to draw my Social Security, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. A lot of them boys out here, no, go on back to penitentiary. Keep going.
Well, we want to stop.
Disability when to get back. Let me shut up.
Look, we want to stop them, and we want to put the right thing in their head. But I feel you, big brother. I feel you. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that's tough love right there. That's tough love. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Waller, bring us to some sort of conclusion here tonight, sir.
Well, everybody have shared very, very, very good information to me. So what I would like to say is that you put it all together and you stir it up, okay, because there's a lot of information in what's been said. And, and that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, stir up the gift that's within you. Once you do that, everything that's good that's been shared, it'll come up.
Wow.
And it will be that we can utilize, correct? And then what's not valuable, we don't have to worry about it anyway, because everything that was stirred up brought forth what was good. And everything that wasn't, it's not going to work for us nowhere. So we got to find out what's going to be good for us, what's going to be good for our community. And the Bible said every good and perfect gift comes from above.
That's
so if
true.
We put him further stirred up, everything's going to be all right.
Wow. You know who the game ball goes to tonight, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, give it up.
You know who the game ball goes to?
1098.
Yeah.
1098, you got the game ball, brother.
Oh, you know, I didn't mean to get started, but, you know, I just get tired of people lying to people. You know what I'm saying? Playing on their emotions. Like, they done got out here and did something, and then they went to penitentiary, and then they get back, can't get a job. Suckers don't want jobs.
Well, don't be so hard on
me. You said some information. I need to hear that because they always say, they always use it as an excuse. They always say, you can't get no job because we're failing it. I've seen some of them quit getting a job.
Well, yeah. Some of them stand down on the street with
them.
Ma'am,
I'd have had more felonies than you got told. Ma'am, I'd have had more felonies than you got told, and I still get the job that I want. So still, then there's no excuse.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't y'all know anybody playing on there? Did he ask you for $5?
Okay, listen. Next week Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we're going to be talking about how economics impact your community, and we're going to follow up on that the following Thursday. So that's going to be what our thread of conversation. You guys, listen. You all have been. I'm telling you, I've been listening. I'm able to go, and you can do it likewise. You can go back if you click on to the blog talk thing. Go to my website, www.bfcinstitute, and you can go back and listen to all the shows. But I've been going back, and I've been listening to our threads of conversation, and we've been putting some powerful information out there. Pat yourself on the back. You've been a part of some very powerful dialogue. And this can be transformative for people if we are focused about it. And that's where I appreciate Professor Robinson. And thank you for tuning in with us again. And we appreciate that.
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes, sir.
You get the assist for tonight. You know what assist is, don't you? That means you help them drive the ball to the hole. You gave him an alley while he's done. Okay, all right. 615-430-6226, thank you for joining us. I know you were a participant observer tonight. We appreciate you. Hope you come back again. And you've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. How education affects the social behavior of urban American youth is what we've been talking about tonight. And we're going to, again, come back next week with another thread of conversation. Because we've been looking at the three pillars of a healthy culture or community. And the first pillar was education, which we covered last two nights. And next week we're going to look at the second pillar, which is economics. And the following week, the 20th, starting the 20th, we're going to look at theology. Those are the three pillars that we're focusing on. And I hope that at the end of our discussion, we have some framework, Professor Robinson, for actually doing what you were talking about. And that is literally taking advantage of what we know and making it work for us, you know, using those tools and transforming our communities. That's my aim with Building Families and Communities Institute. So, Pastor Waller, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you for coming in.
Oh,
yes, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna leave with this message. And thank you guys again. Tune in to us next week for another next Tuesday night, 7:00 p.m. for another topic of Straight Talk. This is your host, Pastor Reuben Dockery, and we thank our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller. I wish you all a good evening.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you and very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at b